The prayer of St. Louis, we offer it to our Blessed Mother, is a very beautiful prayer. And it's important that we perhaps read over that from time to time, pray that on a regular basis to help us, ask our Blessed Mother to help us to come to a better knowledge of her through this prayer. Do we wish to, we must know Mary. It's very important because how can we love her if we do not know her? Do we want to imitate Christ? We certainly wish others would, especially when they get on our nerves. How curious, when people offend us, we are sad or upset. When they offend God, what then? Do we not pray and weep for them as our dear Blessed Mother does? Why not? If we wish to imitate Christ, according to Father Newbert, Emil Newbert, and my ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, we must resemble Mary. If we must resemble her, we must know her. Often people want to love God, but they forget this is the fruit. They forget that humility is the root, suffering the branch, which leads to the fruit of the love of God. And of course, our Blessed Mother is the lifeblood of that love. Often people want to love Mary, but they forget who she is. They don't know her. Why she is who she is. How can we become like her? Come to a better knowledge of her. We should study her virtues, as St. Louis Marie of Montfort outlines them. A deep humility. A great antidote. Protection against the pride of the world today, the self-centeredness, which destroys souls, societies, marriages. The lively faith in our faithless world. The foundation of our spiritual life. A blind obedience. The world scoffs at obedience as weakness, but we know this is strength with God. Unceasing prayer, as St. Paul tells us, we must pray unceasingly. This is what our Blessed Mother did. Her prayers are so effective. How effective? The simple stitch of her needle, we are told by St. Louis Marie of Montfort, was more pleasing and drew down more grace from God than St. Lawrence did on the gridiron. And he says after that, or than all the martyrs' sufferings together. Her constant self-denial in this world of instant gratification. Gratification strengthens our fallen human nature. Mortification strengthens our souls. Surpassing purity in an age of impurity. The devil knowing this is how he draws most to hell. Ardent love in a world where so much charity, our charity has grown so cold. True charity, which is the love of God. Her heroic patience in the world of I must have it now. Always a problem for fallen human nature, but especially in our times. And you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little biased about the rosary. It was through the rosary that my vocation was salvaged after I had not pursued it for some years. It was also on the feast of the Holy Rosary that I was ordained to the priesthood, and so I feel in a special way I owe our Blessed Mother, I owe the rosary, her rosary, my very soul, my vocation. Mary, in each mystery, teaches us the virtues, especially it would be good on Sundays or feast days, on special occasions, to pray the De Montfort method. And we go through there and we see the different virtues we need to have in our lives. This is how we can learn more about our Blessed Mother. We see even in the joyful mysteries a blending of sorrow, not to preclude the joy, but rather to increase the love of God in us. We see her joyful in the stable, resigned to God's holy will. We see her in the presentation. This is just after this the first of her sorrows, Simeon's prophecy, in the presentation and the finding in the temple. We see her just before this. She had lost her son for 3 days, her third sorrow. We also know of the great triumph of the glorious mysteries. And what is our triumph in this world? The triumph over sin, the triumph over self. The final triumph comes only in the next life, when we can no longer sin. The more we pray to her, the more we honor her, the more we love her, the more we get to know her. She teaches us through the rosary. She teaches us to watch out for the traps of the devil. As one famous Satanist once said, the churches have their pulpits and we have the entertainment industry. There can be no doubt about that. When we look at the different influences the devil has, quotes of certain authors of very popular books wishing to undo the redemption, we can see the devil very plainly at work there. Are we troubled? Let us turn to our dear mother in her favorite prayer, the rosary. Are we afraid of the devil? There is no need to feed his pride. Rather, let us simply feed our souls what they need with the rosary, praying with confidence and love in our Blessed Mother. And this will make our lives sweet, joyful, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. And it's very important that we realize a well-said rosary is a sweet refreshment to our souls and to that of our dear mother. After we recall to our minds that the greatest pain Christ suffered on Calvary was the loss of so many souls. This indeed is very pleasing, especially when we pray for the conversion of sinners. And this is indeed a very wonderful source of consolation to her. And it's interesting, in speaking of death, when you've all perhaps heard the story this morning, Father Casimir told, how St. Philip Neri asked someone, then what? But what has the devil done? How effective is the fear of death? How great is that wisdom that keeps us on track? Think of thy last end and thou shalt never sin, from the Old Testament. But what has the devil done? He has managed to undo that of sorts as best he can. In many souls in the world, their reply would be to what then? They would simply say nothing. They believe in no afterlife. Or they would say, of course, we're all going to heaven. The devil has been so successful in pervading the world with a false sense of security. This indeed is very dangerous to the soul. We must ever guard against this. We must never let the world inject this poison into our souls. Has our fervor cooled? What better way to rekindle it than the rosary? After all, can anyone truly meditate on the mysteries and remain cold and indifferent? Are we discouraged by what we judge to be a lack of results? I've known people that say, yeah, I pray and it doesn't do any good. This is a trick of the devil. In his encyclical on the Holy Rosary, October Mense, Pope Leo XIII, who wrote no less than 12 encyclicals on the rosary, by the way, all available online at papalencyclicals.net. And I must warn you, of course, there are also the modernistic poisonous encyclicals on there. I warn you to be very careful with those, to stay away from those as dangers to your faith. But certainly not fail to use that resource to look at the great graces that are in the great food for thought, food for soul in the encyclicals that were put out from Pope Pius XII and before. And in this encyclical, he talks about how people who will, while they agree with him how powerful the rosary is, that they become very disappointed because God does not hear their prayer. And he says, it is wrong for us to assign to God a timeline. Just as in the book of Judith, in Judith's time, in the Old Testament, the elders and the priests had said, okay, in 4 days, if we're not delivered, then we'll surrender. And Judas came to them and rebuked them and said, how dare you assign God a timeline? That is not for us to do. Who among us is perfect? Has our actions disturbed our consciences? From this same encyclical, the Pope says, thus do those whose actions have disturbed their consciences need an intercessor mighty in with the favor of God, merciful enough not to reject the cause of the desperate, merciful enough to lift up towards hope in the divine mercy the afflicted and broken down. Mary is this glorious intermediary. And when we talk about our Blessed Mother, I would be remiss to not quote from one of her great champions, St. Bernard, a few passages. He says, in danger, difficulty, or doubt, think of Mary, call upon Mary. Let her name be ever in your heart and on your lips. If the storm of temptation rises or you are running upon the rocks of trouble, look to the star, call upon Mary. If you follow her guidance, you will not go astray. If you pray to her, you will not give up hope. If you think of her, you will not go wrong. If she upholds you, you will not stumble. If she protects you, you will not be afraid. If she leads you, you will reach your goal. And when we look at the Mass, often throughout the Mass and the liturgy on the Feast of Our Blessed Mother, we have a great key to our salvation, a real treasure. Those who work by me shall not sin, from the epistles and gospels in these masses. This is how we can come to a greater knowledge of her. Not just coming to Mass, kind of going through the motions or going through the motions at the rosary, but stopping to pray. Each time we pray the rosary, we should get something out of it. Saints have told us there are great deep mysteries in the simple Hail Mary that even the angels do not yet understand. And how is it that we have such a routine out of our prayers? Those that explain me shall have life everlasting. When was the last time we tried to do this? Are we afraid? Why? We must not ourselves become upset when others disagree with us. This is the devil's work. We are mature. We can agree to disagree. This ability being lost is the devil's tool for shutting down discussion on religion in our world. Most people have no idea about our dear Blessed Mother. They only know what the world has told them, if anything. They only know what the devil has tried to insinuate to keep them away from her. If we knew of a great treasure available to everyone, we would tell them about it. Health tips, so readily shared. How do we go about this? First, we must pray for guidance, then not be afraid to mention religion in a conversation. How can people know if they are not told? We must not assume a lack of interest. We must be courageous. This does not mean we are forceful. Yes, we must be prudent, but this does not always imply silence. We must not be afraid to test the waters. But if we are silent, let us pray. If we cannot talk, that may be excused, chalked up to circumstances. But if we pray not for sinners, we are guilty, guilty of souls that depend on our prayers. We are not the light that God wants us to be to the world. We cannot bring others to the tree of life, which is Mary. We ourselves cannot bear the fruit that God expects to find in us. Others, so zealous for false religions, undergo great scorn. They expect small interest, yet they persist. We must also pray and sacrifice. We must persist as well. We must preach a sermon by our good example, at the very least. How do we act on Sundays versus the rest of the week? Can a true child of Mary go to Mass and an hour later, God forbid, Christ is still present in them due to a thanksgiving all too brief, go to the parish hall, wherever it may be, upstairs, downstairs, next door, and act as if the Catholic faith had no influence on their lives? If you were to walk into an average Protestant gathering, you would have the same results. This outward lack of virtue, if it be present, is a result of not knowing our dear mother. Forgetting it is in this way. This is how we make her weep, by not living our faith. Forgetting what her divine son told St. Margaret Mary and what her great champion and slave, St. Louis de Montfort, says in Friends of the Cross, those closest to him cause him the most pain. Are we not close to our Blessed Mother? How do we stand on this score? We cannot give lip service to God or His Holy Mother and save our immortal souls. How do we know? Not he who says, Lord, Lord. Not those who presume that they can offend God and use true devotion as a shield, as St. Louis de Montfort calls this. One of the many forms the devil counterfeits this false devotion to our Blessed Mother. If we are in trouble or troubled spiritually, our solution lies within Mary. We must go to her. When a child needs something desperately, it begs its mother. Do we seek salvation? They that find me shall find life and salvation from the Lord. And we have in recent apparitions an excellent, excellent way to learn more about our Blessed Mother. 1830, Rubach, ushered in the age of Mary. Where are those who pray? And we've heard in this conference quotes from St. Alphonsus Liguori and St. Teresa how critical prayer is. Cannot be overemphasized. This is where our souls find rest in their union with God, in mental prayer. And we must remember again what St. Bernard said, whatever you offer to God, you must be sure to offer it through Mary, unless you wish to have it rejected. At Lourdes, she asked for penance in the rosary. At La Salette, she who weeps. She told us why she wept. Two things that principally offended God was God's name in vain and the violation of Sunday. No matter how much we do, she told the children, how much you do, you can never repay all I have done for you. So let us then strive. Let us do our very best to do all that we can for her, to come as close as we can. At Fatima, she asked for the rosary, prayers for sinners. She warned us that impurity is why most people go to hell. But she also assured us in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph. On her feast, we should renew our consecration to her. The more you know, the more you will love Mary. St. Louis de Montfort tells us, Christ is not known because Mary is not known. Why not? The proud and haughty world. When you speak of being children of Mary, we are not children. What does our Lord say? Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. A child is simple, sincere, without pretension. We must remember what someone once told me. Often there comes in problems into a family because we forget what we learned as a child. To say, please, thank you, I'm sorry. A child allows itself to be led. It recognizes its dependence. We must do likewise. We must not depend on worldly things for the relief of our souls. Sports programs, the internet, anything that competes with our soul. When it comes to a choice, do we choose the game or do we choose the rosary if there is a choice that must be made? Or do we say the rosary no matter how late it is? Is it the game or is it a mass that we are obliged to attend? What is our priority? How well do we know our Blessed Mother? The more we know her, the more we can console her. And the more we know we need her. And when it comes to anything in life, we will say, will this offend our Blessed Mother? My parents had a very good practice. Before they died, they imparted to me of saying seven Hail Marys every day in honor of her seven sorrows. Do we want to save souls? Do we really care? Do we burn with a desire to love our Blessed Mother as we ought? Let us ask her to establish in our lives, in our families, a true and solid devotion to her Immaculate Heart, starting with daily rosary, making our first Saturdays, looking at our lives, rooting out, as it says in the prayer, whatever is not pleasing to God. Is the world dangerous? Do we seek protection? She will world-proof our souls and our families. Give us the grace to fortify the will to reject the world and give God his due, live God-centered lives. Lead us to her Son in the sacrament of his divine love. What better way to complement two great devotions? Devotion to our Blessed Mother and devotion to our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And to have a spiritual communion before every rosary, with the rosary as a thanksgiving. This can be short, it can be a minute or two. Should be, and it's true for sacramental communion, at the very least 15 minutes of thanksgiving, as St. Alphonsus tells us. And this is the most precious time in our lives, the time after communion. We are united to God in a very special way. If we know Mary, she will permeate our lives. She is sweet beyond comparison. She is the best of all mothers. From time to time, from the time we get up, we think about God and we go to bed. We should talk to her. Tell her our joys and troubles. Read about her. Why? Why is Mary so important? Our world is very dangerous and our way is rough. Now perhaps more than ever. She is the guiding star in this dark night. She leads us to her Son. She is indeed the cause of our joy. And time does not permit, but St. Francis, in the book Perfect Joys of St. Francis, he defines perfect joy, and it contradicts, of course, what the world's idea of joy is. It's a perfect antidote. His poverty is a perfect antidote to the poison of the world and self-seeking and pleasure. He speaks about perfect joy being suffering. Let us not forget the spouse of Mary, the Holy Ghost. Often the devil is so clever, he pits mom against dad, parent against teacher, mother against father, brother against sister, and the devil delights in splitting apart. But if we know Mary and love her and her spouse, she, with her divine spouse, will drive out the wedge the devil has driven in, perhaps very deep. And the devil pits us against us, each other to our misery, so Mary and the Holy Ghost can work together to dispose us to the peace of soul that we should have. If we wish to know Mary more, and who is there among us who cannot grow in our knowledge of Mary, let us fervently and frequently ask her divine spouse to teach us. Read books like My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary. She will teach us to avoid sin. She will teach us how to be a mold, our Blessed Mother, how to be molded. Our Blessed Mother is the mold of God. She will form him in us. She will teach us to pray that our hearts, souls, and wills be as wax on fire with the divine love, prayer, obedience, and penance. Teach us the value of suffering, daily duty. Teach us her Son in the Holy Eucharist, his boundless love. Where there is love, there is no work. When we learn this love, all else pales. As sin can seek its roots into our soul, so can love, true and everlasting love, love which brings peace of soul in all circumstances in life. Only when we learn this love can we understand these consoling words, "My yoke is sweet and my burden is light." Only she can properly teach this to us. Mary in our communion, as St. Louis Marie de Montfort talks about in True Devotion, can we improve on that? I think not. And so it's very important that we avail ourselves of spiritual communion. For our modern world is a world of convenience. We must not have a religion of convenience. We must receive sacramental communion as often as prudently possible, not convenient. If we give way to a religion of convenience, we will suffer great loss of strength and perhaps our faith in our soul. If we develop a faith of convenience, we will be robbed of countless treasures in grave spiritual danger. This danger is called lukewarmness, the most deadly and subtle poison to the soul, and the antidote, a true and deep devotion to our Blessed Mother and the Blessed Sacrament. What better way to blend this than, again, a spiritual communion with every rosary? It should be short, consistent, fervent, but never routine. Do we wish to please our Blessed Mother? Perhaps make amends, dry some of the bitter tears we have caused her to shed. At Fatima, she earnestly asked for the daily rosary. Will we refuse, she who weeps, this great refreshment and consolation?